before we get to where we're going today, let me ask you where you're at right now. What's on your mind? There's your question. What's on your mind right now? Would it be lunch? Would it be work? Would it be maybe family issues that you're dealing with? Or football? Football is coming up. What are you thinking about? At Romans 8, that's where we're at. Romans 8. Let me read just a couple of verses here. Romans 8, verse 1. I'm thinking. Okay, I'll read it now. I'll probably read it again a few more times, but this is what it says. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've heard that, right? This is awesome. That's a great verse. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So I ask you again, what are you thinking about? What's going through your head right now? A couple of verses I want to emphasize right here to get into this. Romans 8, verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. And what I'm thinking, a lot of times our mindset, it's lust, it's anger. We're obsessed with money. Or just to boil it all down, we're obsessed with ourselves. It's what I want. What do I want right now? And who cares if it's pleasing to God or not? It's what I want. It's about me, right? I mean, that's our mindset. It's about me. And it leads to all kinds of different issues that destroy our lives. So once again, Romans 8, verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mindset. And it's all about what your mind is set on. What's your mindset? Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. Romans 8, verse 6 says, the mind of the sinful man is death. The mind of the sinful man. If this is where your mind is, the end result is death. And then, to even take it one step further, in Romans 8, verse 7, it says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And in Romans 8, verse 8, it says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Those whose mind is set on the flesh, those who are their mind is set on doing what they want to do, they cannot please God. They're living hostile to God. And this is kind of where we've been throughout Romans. This is kind of a little review. I think this is important. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed against heaven, against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. That's what we're doing with our minds. We're suppressing the truth by our wickedness. And then it goes on, verse 21 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. See, our mindset is on the things of the world. Our mind is on our flesh, or ourselves. And our thinking has become futile. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. So God gives them over to sinful desires. He gives them over to shameful lust. He gives them over to depraved minds, is what it says in verse 28. It says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. See, when your mind is set on the things of the flesh, that's the end result, a depraved mind. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work. And that's a different spirit. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit who's working at those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. So much is about our mind. What's going on in our head? Here we are, godly people. We're supposed to be godly people. Jesus Christ died on a cross for us. We come to church, and yet is our mind right with God? Is our hearts right with God? Is our souls right with God? Do we have salvation? Because we have salvation because Jesus died on the cross. But has my mind caught up to what Jesus has done? Or is my mind still being controlled by my flesh? Like the rest, we were by nature's objects of wrath because of where our thoughts were. See, it's impossible to please God by walking in the flesh. The mindset on flesh is death. The flesh hates God, rebels against his authority, against his law, against his will. So serving God in the flesh, if you can wrap your heads around what I'm talking about here, the spiritual issue here of serving God in our flesh. I read this. It's kind of like trying to train a wolf to watch the sheep. That's what we're doing when we're living in our flesh, but calling ourselves Christians. That's what we're doing. Too many Christians, myself included here, we're too busy catering to our flesh instead of putting our flesh to death, instead of crucifying it. And see, here, our goal when we're living by our flesh is to please ourselves. And our lifestyle, as a result, is we're rebellious to God. We're hostile to God, which leads to separation from God, which leads to death. And this is what it says once again, Romans 8, verse 6, the mind of the sinful man is death. It doesn't say will be death. It says you're dead right now. Here, all that Jesus has done for you, and we go to church and we're going through the motions. And let me say this. I'm going to just add something here too. It's just Jesus rebuked the Pharisees a lot for their hypocrisy. Oh, they look good. I mean, their prayers and their tithing and their laws, all their rules and everything. They looked all spiritual. But it was all their flesh. They weren't living by the Spirit of God. They weren't doing the will of God. And it says here, the mind of the sinful man is death. Ephesians 2 says you were dead. And the Bible tells us we will be dead because of our sins. The wages of sin is death. And right here it says, you are dead, separated from God, if you're allowing your flesh to control your thoughts. This is an important subject, isn't it? Because a lot of us struggle with this. That we're spending way too much time in this world being controlled by our flesh instead of being controlled by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Are we doing that? Seek first. Is it about God? God, what is your will? What do you want from us, God? If we're seeking first his kingdom, he's what we think about when we wake up. He's what we think about when we go to bed. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So it's all about your thought life. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And oh, that's so easy for me to read. But what about applying it? How do we get there? How do we do this? And what I see here, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 is all about the Holy Spirit. I mentioned 18 times in this chapter alone. Holy Spirit, the prominent subject of the chapter. The Holy Spirit is God's provision for holy living. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be holy as I am holy. And I've told several people this week. I was so convicted this Thursday. We were having our prayer time together. And so convicted that we cannot just pray, God, send revival. God, do this. God, do this. When God is saying, how about you all do what I've asked you to do? Be holy. And we need to be intentional about being holy. The problem with sin is we all do it. And the problem with holy living is we don't do it. We don't even try, it seems like, a lot of times. God solved the first problem of us sinning by sending Jesus Christ. God solved the second problem of us not being able to live a holy life by sending us the Holy Spirit, for us to listen to the Holy Spirit and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian receives the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. An awesome gift. And the issue is not that some of us need more of the Holy Spirit than others, because we all receive the same Holy Spirit. The issue is some of us need to be surrendering our lives to the Holy Spirit. We need to be more intentional about following the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives inside every believer is the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. I felt like I grew up most of my life just, we always talk about Jesus and we talk about God the Father and oh yeah, that Holy Spirit guy, don't know what to do with him, And I just think we need to understand this is one third of God. This is Jesus left so that he could give us the Holy Spirit. how important the Holy Spirit is for us. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of your flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. They're at war with one another. So you may not do the things that you please. So I say, you know, we need to be living by the Spirit. How do you do that? How do you do that? Romans 8, verse 5, how do you have your mind, how do you change from being a person with the mind on the flesh all the time to being a person whose mind is on Christ? Where you're thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about Jesus. You're always thinking about Jesus. Let me give you a couple verses here. Romans 8, verse 5, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. It's a total change of mindset. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So we're thinking, you know, what does the Spirit of God want from me? What's His will? How do I be holy? How do I forgive? How do I advance the kingdom of God? And these are lofty thoughts. We spend way too much time with our thoughts where our thoughts should not be, when we need to be thinking, Lord, what is your will? How can I please you, Lord? What can I do for you, Lord? So we fix our thoughts on Jesus. Oh, we need to be thinking about Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's where our mind should be. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hebrews 3, verse 1 says, therefore, holy brothers who share this heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, His will, His command, His example. And another way that, so first of all, how do you do this? First of all, you fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. If your mind is where your mind shouldn't be, let's deal with that. Let's stop thinking about things we're not supposed to be thinking about. And we live in this world. I think I heard Jim Rogers say this yesterday about how we have this earthly suit that we're wearing. Is that how you said it? Something like that, an earthly suit. I mean, with all this dirt and with all this stuff, and you're not going to get rid of this until the other side of heaven. So it's a constant battle to stop thinking about our flesh. But we need to be intentional about fixing our thoughts on Jesus. And another way of doing this here, we need, what about our prayer life? How's your prayer life? I heard somebody say, you know, here's what we have here is a failure to communicate. You know, that's in a movie, right? That's our problem with our walk with the Lord. What we have here is a failure to communicate. We're not talking to the Lord. We're not listening to the Lord. He's talking with us all the time. We should be talking with Him all the time. That's where our mindset should be. And let me read this in Romans 8, verse 13. It says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You know, I'm not trying to motivate you by fear to live a godly life, a holy life. I'm saying, look at who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. It says here, you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. See, our prayer life, it's not, I wonder about this here. Do you approach God like He's some, you know, distant, I don't know, it is some distant being that you're terrified to come in the room with? You know, dear, awesome creator of the universe. Or do you come to Him, hey, Dad, I need you. I need you right now. Abba, Father, we cry out, Abba, Father, because through the Spirit, we have a spirit of sonship. We have been adopted as children of God. Verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself, He intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life if we would just listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. Another way that we fix our thoughts, we get our minds where our minds need to be, is through worship. Worship is so important. It's not just about singing a bunch of songs. You know, every week, you know, the worship team, we come up in and we practice, and then we pray, Lord, get us out of the way. Help us do what we do so that those who are here will encounter you. And that's our prayer. So I hope our prayers aren't in vain. I hope this is really happening, that as we are singing the songs, it's helping you enter the presence of God. That's what worship is all about, to enter the throne room of God, to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Revelation 4:8, each of the four living creatures had six wings and that covered their eyes all around and even under his wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, they never stopped worshiping, they never stopped crying out, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." It's not just a song, it's a mindset. You are holy, and I need you. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." Are we worshiping him in spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit? And are we worshiping him in truth? Another thing that would help us in our worship life, you see, when you don't have me on Sunday mornings playing the guitar, that's okay, you know? You can turn your radio onto a Christian radio station, you know? And you can worship. You can go down the highway and just be singing your heart out to the Lord, worshiping the Lord, to help you get your mind where your mind needs to be, to fix your thoughts on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Another thing we need to be a spiritual discipline to help us with our mindset is what about, how's your devotion life? How's your quiet time? How often do you pick up the Word of God and read the Scriptures and say, "Lord, just speak to me"? Because, you know, my mind's not where my mind's supposed to be right now. So I need to get into your Word so you can help me get my mind back where my mind needs to be. So how's your quiet time? What about your devotion time? Do you got any books that help you study the Word of God so you can hear the Word of God? And I wrote down just a couple of scriptures, Psalm 119, which is a long, wonderful, beautiful psalm, and just a couple of verses out of it. It was in Psalm 19, 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word. And I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, this is somebody with a mindset fixed on the things of God instead of the things of the world. It goes on in Psalm 119, says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." I just want to challenge you. I don't want to give a guilt trip to anybody, you know, but I just want to challenge you. How often throughout a week do you meditate on the Word of God? Do you think about the Word of God? And you see it. I mean, this is bread for our souls. Fifth thing that I wrote down here to help us with our mindset, to help us have the right mindset, is communion. You know, at this church, we take communion every week. I know some churches don't do that. I grew up, we didn't take communion every week. I thought it was kind of strange and funny when I came to the Christian church and they took communion every week. I thought it would eventually become a ritual and meaningless. And maybe for some of you guys, you struggle with that. I don't know. But for me, I found that the more we took communion, the more it brought me to the foot of the cross. The more that it humbled me before God, the more that it made me grateful for what the Lord had done. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, if you do this and you're not remembering what he's done for you, the sacrifice that he made for you, I could see where it's just a meaningless ritual. But if you come to the table and you think about what Christ did for you, what he did for you, and he didn't have to, but he loved you that much. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we fix our eyes on Jesus, not only his will, not only his commands, but also the sacrifice that he made so that we might have life and have it to the full. And it just helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus, to have the right mindset. And let me go on in Romans chapter 8 here. It says in Romans 8, verse 12, and I read this earlier, "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation." We have an obligation. "But not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So when it says we have an obligation, can you think about that? That because what Christ did for you, Now, in response to what he did for you, Paul is urging us, in response to what Christ did for you, his free gift of salvation that he gave you, dying on the cross for you, liberating you from your sins, giving you this precious gift of the Holy Spirit that he put inside of you. Now, you have an obligation. Listen to that Spirit. Listen to that Holy Spirit. That's what's going to get you through. That's why Jesus said, this is why he had to die on the cross, was so that we could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This precious gift. What are you doing with this precious gift? Are we listening to it? Are we being led by the Spirit? Are we walking in the Spirit? So I came up with this little illustration. Maybe it'll help. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's just me talking. I don't know. But so this little illustration here. Imagine we're in a war, and we are. We're in a spiritual war. And imagine you have a radio. And that radio is, you know, you're on the front line. You're in a foxhole someplace, and they're shooting at you. I mean, Satan's coming after you. And here you're in this foxhole, and you got this radio. And this radio is your link to our commander-in-chief, our creator, our heavenly father. You know, so we can listen to this radio, and we can receive our instructions, or we can turn that radio to QMF and just have a good old time in that foxhole. And you're going to die. Okay? And that's what we're doing. When we take our minds and we think about the things of this world, and we're obsessed with the things of this world, with money and with lust and with anger and with just ourselves, when we're obsessed with ourselves and we're not listening to our commander-in-chief, what do you think is going to happen to you? So we need to tune in to our Heavenly Father. So we know what he wants from us. So we receive the proper instructions. We need to tune into to our Heavenly Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have an obligation to be led by the Spirit of God. So on the back page here, I think I heard some pages turning already. That's okay today. Okay, but what's on your mind? And by the power of the Spirit, think about, you know, just your mindset here. My interpretation influences my situation. So if you're thinking in your flesh, well, that's going to have one outcome. If you're thinking by the Spirit, that's going to have a totally different outcome. It's not about what happens, but it's about how you choose to respond to what happens. In James chapter 1, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. See, I think some of us, we don't consider it pure joy. Some of us, we whine and we complain and we argue and we yell and we stomp up and down when we're going through trials of many kinds. But if we consider it pure joy, because we know God is in charge, whatever happens, I mean, I don't like it. I'm not happy that we're going through what we're going through, but God is in control. And I have peace because I know God is in control. So we consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So you see, these circumstances, one of two things can happen. We can become bitter or we can become better. They are either obstacles or they are opportunities. They are stumbling blocks or they're stepping stones. So if we're listening to the Spirit, it changes your mindset. It changes the situation. Number two here, my impression influences my depression. I found Psalm 55, verse 2. It says, my thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. I think a lot of times our thoughts can make us distraught. See, our mind affects our mood. That's why this is so important. What's going on in your mind? Because if bad things are going on in your mind, you're going to be in a bad mood. And our thinking determines our feelings. And I can't control my feelings. I wish I could control my feelings. Don't you? I mean, feelings are so powerful. I wish I could control my feelings. I can't control my feelings, but I can control what I'm thinking about. And that, in turn, will control my feelings. And we are told to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. If you're always in a bad mood, well, what are you thinking about all the time? Try changing what you're thinking about. My beliefs influence my behavior. We always act according to our beliefs. And if your beliefs are wrong, then your behavior is going to be wrong. Think about this here. I'll give you this little illustration here. You take a child who thinks there's a monster under their bed. And you try to go in their room and you say, there's no monster on your bed. You know what? If they believe it, they're going to be terrified all night long. But if you can convince them there's no monster under their bed, then hopefully they'll finally go to sleep. Hopefully. But this is what you and I are, the children of God with a monster under our bed. And God is constantly saying, there is no monster. I'm your God. I'm your God. Put your trust in me. But we keep on thinking, but there's a monster under the bed, Lord. You know, I can't go to sleep. I can't do your will. I can't do this, can't do that, because of Satan's gotten in our minds, and he's gotten us to believe all kinds of lies, and that influences our behavior. And once again, I go back to John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We need to understand what the truth is so we'll respond accordingly. Jesus says in John 8, he says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. See, and we got a whole world of Christians who aren't holding to his beliefs. We're believing a bunch of lies, and our behavior is not right because of it. This is let me do a little commercial here for what I'm going to do Wednesday nights. We're going to start up Truth Project, which I've done several times, and I've always had fun doing it. But the Truth Project is help us to see the world through God's eyes. What is truth? Where have you been lied to by the world, even in the church, by the things that are going on TV all the time? Where have you been lied to, and what is truth? So if you can, come out Wednesday night at 6:30 for the Truth Project. So it will affect our beliefs, which in turn will affect our behavior. Number four, self-talk influences my self-esteem. Oh, anybody in here talk to yourselves? Anybody got, oh, yeah, oh, okay, put your hands down. That's embarrassing. Okay. I want to ask, what do you say to yourself? But I'm afraid you're going. But what is it that you think about yourself? What are you telling yourself all the time about yourself? What are you saying? I used to have a song. I've tried to get away from this before because I think it doesn't make me look like a mature professional minister, which is important to me. I want you guys to see me as a mature. But I used to have a song. I used to sing it all the time. I'm a great guy. I love me. Wouldn't you like to be like me? And I guess I had some people who had issues with that. They said, you are so arrogant. I thought it was cute, you know. It's better than saying, I'm a loser, man. I'm a loser, you know. So, how do you talk to yourself? What is it you say to yourself? And once again, let me read Romans 8, verse 15. It says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I'm a child of God. Yeah, I might not be such a great guy, but I'm a child of God, you know. And I'm an heir with Christ is what it says here. So, you know, this is what we need to be telling ourselves, regardless of what Satan is telling you, regardless of what people are telling you, what the world is telling you, what your wife is telling you, I am a child of God. I didn't mean to throw Stephanie under the bus on that one. Just a good example, you know. So your self-talk influences your self-esteem. And that's so important here for us to have the right mindset. We need to be speaking the scriptures to ourselves. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, is what it says in Proverbs 23. Number five, my attitude influences my ability. And what it says in Romans 8, verse 37, know in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him, through Christ who loves us. You're not a conqueror in your own strength. You're not a conqueror in your own flesh. But in the Spirit, I am a conqueror. So bring it on, flesh. What can you do to me? The Spirit of God lives in me. And I will listen to the Spirit of God. I read this here. Muhammad Ali only lost two fights. And the strange thing about both those fights, in both of the fights, he said something he had never said before. He said, if I should lose this fight, you know, if you start with that attitude already, you're going to lose. But if our mind is, we know we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us, is what it says in Romans 8, verse 31. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. See, that's where our mindset should be. If we're thinking that, we are conquerors. But if we're not thinking that, then, yeah, it's like we've already raised up the white flag. You know, I give up. I surrender. And number six, my imagination influences my aspiration. What it says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, as King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So think about your imagination. If you're creative people, if you're imaginative people, but if my mind is fixed on Jesus Christ, then my imagination takes me to wonderful places of ambitious goals, lofty thoughts of what we can do for the glory of God. What is our purpose? What is our goal? What is our hope? What is our vision for the glory of God? What can we as God's people do in His name that would bring Him glory and make a difference in this world? And if all of us had the mind of Christ, I bet we could come up with some great ideas. We could come up with some great ideas. Let me end with this here. Observe your thoughts because they become your words. So it all starts with your thoughts. It all starts with your mindset. Observe your thoughts. They become your words. Observe your words because they become your actions. Observe your actions because they become your habits. Observe your habits because they become your character. Observe your character because it will become your destiny. Lead me to